Hello again, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you, my brothers and sisters, and anybody else that might be listening in. And today we're going to continue in our study of remission. It's the fourth study of the letter R and the ABCs of Christian Growth. And we've had a pretty good start on this, and finding out what remission means in the Scriptures and what the Lord's talking about in His Word when He says things about remission. And we found quite a bit out already, haven't we? So just recapping just a little bit, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, it says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission." No remission. Remember, we're talking about remission. And this is the one that is part of your salvation that has to do with blood. That has to do with blood. There are many other aspects of your salvation and ingredients in your salvation. And this is one of them. But the majority of them, I mean, they all in the background have to do with blood, because they wouldn't exist if it wasn't for blood, and for a certain type of blood, a certain God's blood, Jesus' blood. But particularly in remission, blood is an issue. And without, the Bible says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. The Bible says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." So you see how that blood is important, and how the Lord incorporated blood into the sacrifices, and into forgiveness, and into remission. You see, it's blood that keeps the punishment of God for sin off of the sinner. And we're going to see more of that as we move into remission. And the last time that we talked about this, or the last study that we were in, we talked about defining remission and trying to just get it into context. And we did. We've seen that some of the definitions for remission, just to recap just a little bit, is the act of remitting, or that which is remitted. And we read scriptures on that. And then we found out that it's a cancellation, or a discharge, or an annulment, or a liability, or an annulment of a liability or a debt, as the remission of sins is the central idea of the Apostle Paul's theology, the gospel of the grace of God. and then we found another definition that is to pardon, to withhold punishment. You see, a lot of people say they use and remission kind of, well, I don't want to say flippantly, but what I mean is most people, when they hear of remission, they think of forgiveness. And it is forgiveness. But it's not just forgiveness. It is another aspect of forgiveness. It is, well, we'll get into that one as we get into today's study. I think it'll help, and it'll kind of define things just a little bit more, what we're going to talk about today. Another definition was forgiveness, pardon. That is the giving up of the punishment due to the crime. You see, forgiveness is the mercy and the grace of God and the favor of God, and that God would be favorable to us and forgive us and let you off the hook. But in the Old Testament, the hook still existed. The Lord let you off the hook, but the hook was still there. In the New Testament, things have changed, where remission comes in. And if you remember, remission is only mentioned in the New Testament. In the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it spoke of atonement. We just read that a minute ago. And the New Testament talks about remission. Remission. So, forgiveness, pardon, that is the giving up of the punishment due to the crime as the remission of sin. In the Old Testament, the Lord would forgive and let people off the hook if they would come to Him and do what His law said and what is said in the law to get that forgiveness. In the New Testament, the Lord has set down a prescribed way to obtain forgiveness from Him, but not only forgiveness, but also remission. What is remission? Not only letting you off the hook and forgiving you, but removing the hook altogether. Pardon, that is the giving up of the punishment due to the crime as remission of sin. Another definition was abatement, to overthrow, to cause to fail, to frustrate by judicial sentence, as to abate a writ, to get rid of something that was written against you and whatever the contents of that writ was, to annul, to fail, to come to naught. Another definition that we looked at while we were studying in our last study was to overthrow, failure, or defeat of a writ. Remember, we talked about in Revelation that the books were opened, and another book was opened, singular, and they were judged out of those things by their works of the things that were written in the books. Plural. Those are the book of works that sinners' works are, and trespasses against God's law are being written down. And yours was too. And something had to be done with those things that were written down. And that's where remission comes in. Remission is not only that the things were written down, but when they were written down, there was consequences to them. There had to be. The Lord's not going to let anybody off the hook. Not without coming to Him the way that He prescribed. And the way that He prescribed is coming through Jesus, the gospel of the grace of God in the New Testament. And the Lord said, it is a better covenant. A better covenant. And it is. And we'll talk more about that, because in the Old Testament, you could be forgiven, but you wasn't let off the hook. Because you had to be very careful about how you lived, because you could die any second. And if you died the wrong way, you're in trouble. In the New Testament, the Lord changed all that. He took the sins out of the way. And when He removed the sins and they were taken out of the way, the things that were written against you, then also the consequences and the punishment, remission, took place. All of the consequences were remitted. They're gone. Aren't you glad of that? Well, today we're going to talk about and try to even more bring remission into focus. And bring it into focus. Now, just laying it out there, let me just say a few things. Forgiveness is the relationship between a merciful, kind, forgiving God and the person being forgiven. Remission is the relationship between a righteous, holy, judicial God and the legalities of the person's sins being remitted. You see that thing? The difference in that? I mean, if you were just forgiven and your sins still existed, that matters with a holy, righteous, judicial God that does not compromise on sins whatsoever. Every sin that has ever been every sin that has ever been committed since the fall something has to account for that sin. Either the person that committed it is going to account. No sin just kind of floats off and goes away. Every single sin, your sins, my sins, every other human being's sins, have to be accounted for one way or the other. Either you're going to pay for them, or whoever committed it is going to pay for them. They're going to be accounted for. Or either in the Old Testament, you would come and sacrifice an animal and do what God told you to do and then live a right life and die in a righteous mode, if you will, instead of an unrighteous, instead of a sinful. If you died in your sins in the Old Testament, it don't matter how many animals you sacrifice, you went to hell. In the New Testament, it's not that way. It's a new covenant, a better way, Jesus said. And the Apostle Paul was the one that Jesus gave the mystery to and revealed it to Paul. And Paul wrote in our Bibles in, 14 different books he authored, telling us about this new covenant. I mean, the Apostle Peter and James and John and all the rest of them didn't know anything about it until Paul come along and nailed it down for everybody and gave understanding about this mystery of the new covenant. Remission is one thing that's involved in the new covenant. Forgiveness is the relationship between a merciful, kind, forgiving God and the person being forgiven. Remission is the relationship between a righteous, holy, judicial God and the legalities of the person's sins being remitted. Forgiveness is being let off the hook. Remission is the removal of the hook altogether. Remission is where the actual punishment for the offenses that the offender was going to receive are extinguished and dissolved away out of existence. Now, unlike forgiveness being focused on the offender, remission is focused on the punishment levied for the offense and its discharge and removal. For example, the wrath of God, or hell, or the lake of fire. The Bible speaks of all of these things, and they are valid, and they are real, and real people go to real places like that. Remission is forgiveness, but it's forgiveness in the way that the offender now is not going to suffer the punishment that was coming, because the punishment itself has been remitted. Remission of sins means that there will be no more a carrying out of the punishment prescribed for the sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6 says, "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter." And when he says the letter, he's talking about God's commandments, the Old Testament. "Who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter," get this, "for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." You see that thing? And there's another one. 2 Corinthians 3, 6 is what we just read. And as I mentioned, remission of sins means that there will be no more carrying out of the punishment prescribed for the sin. Remission reveals the actuality of Jesus taking the punishment that was supposed to be levied to the sinner. Remission shows that. But Christ suffered the punishment, and the sinner's punishments were remitted because of Christ taking the sinner's place on the chopping block, the cross, Calvary. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins." Did you get that? He suffered for sins. "The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." You couldn't get to God because you're a sinner and God doesn't have that stuff in his presence. He's holy and just and judicial. This matter had to be taken care of not only by forgiveness, but by judicial means. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." God the Holy Ghost. Remission reveals the actuality of Jesus taking the punishment that was supposed to be levied on you and me. But Christ suffered the punishment, and the sinner's punishments were remitted because of Christ taking the sinner's place on the cross. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, I just read you. Now, let me read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You see that trade? You see that trade? But it could only take place, and those sins and the consequences of those sins could only take place if you were placed in a righteous state, and you could not be put into a righteous state on your own or any other way other than somebody that was righteous himself taking your sin debt for you. Remission is the guilt of the offense being cleared from the offender. It's not just forgiveness. The offense has been taken care of. Remission is the guilt of the offense being cleared from the offender. James chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "My brethren..." Oh, that's the wrong verse. Hold on just a minute. Okay, now I got it. James chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law..." Now listen to this. "Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend..." Offend what? Offend part of the law. "And yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." Have you ever offended God's law in one place? I mean, the scripture told us plain as day right there that how are you guilty? You're guilty by offending God's law and trespassing God's law. Trespassing God's law, sin is the transgression of the law. Have you transgressed God's law? Have you transgressed it in just one time or one area or one place? Then the Bible says you are guilty of all when it comes to God, and it comes to the offense and what has offended God and his law. So what does that do? That makes you guilty. And that has to be dealt with judicially. God, yes, he forgives. But blood has to be shed. That's why the Old Testament described the way the sacrifices had to go. But in the New Testament, the Lord's even went farther. He remitted the sins because of Jesus. Because Jesus did not sin, not one place. He kept the law perfectly. But yet he shed the blood, and that made the blood perfect. A perfect sacrifice that the Father could receive, that's propitiation, and he could be favorable, propitious toward the sinner now. He could not only forgive you if you come to Jesus and come through Jesus, but he could also remit your sins. Take those sins out of the way, remove them completely, and get rid of the consequences that you were due to get. Remission. Remission. The Bible said that, well, remission is the guilt of the offense being cleared from the offender. You getting this? This is wonderful news. James chapter 2, verse 10. I just read you that. Now listen to this in Numbers chapter 14. 14, verse 18. It says, "The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression." And listen to this. "By no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation." You see, God could forgive, but there was no remission. The sin still existed. Let you off the hook because you sacrificed what he said and you obeyed the law and done what you're supposed to do, but the hook was still there. The hook was still there, but not in the New Testament. The thought of remission is that of forgiveness. However, remission is identified more in the legality of what has taken place to make forgiveness possible and happen. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22 through 26. Listen to this. "And almost all things," you've heard this before, "almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these things. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these," the Old Testament sacrifices. "For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often." In other words, you don't just sin one time. You sin today. That sin has to be accounted for and taken place and forgiven, and your sins taken away, that sin taken away, or either you're accountable for it and you're going to be punished for it. And then not only today, but what about tomorrow? And what about the next day and the sins that are in that day? What about, I don't know how old you are, but what about every day since you were accountable to God when you became accountable to the Lord 5, 6, 7 years old? All them sins individually has to be accounted for, or either you're going to get the consequences. That's why there had to be remission. Them sins had to be taken out of the way and the consequences eliminated. Remission. Nor yet that he should suffer himself often. Christ is not still going to the cross and going to the cross and going to the cross. That's what the Catholics pretend that Christ does. Every time they hold Mass, they crucify Christ again, and they sacrifice him, and they pretend that they're sacrificing and he's paying for the sins over and over and over and over and over every Mass. That's what that's for. And it's false. The Bible plainly teaches us that Christ went one time, and that was enough, and it was the perfect sacrifice to take care of. Well, listen to what the Scripture says. "Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared. He was born of a virgin, lived 33 and a half years, went to the cross of Calvary, suffered, died, was buried, 3 days and nights and days in the grave, resurrected and ascended back to the Father. In the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And whoever appropriates that sacrifice not only gets forgiveness, but gets their sins put away, gone, and the consequences remitted. Isn't that good? That's wonderful news. Wonderful, wonderful news. The thought of remission is that of forgiveness. However, remission is identified more in the legality of what has taken place to make forgiveness possible and happen. Just like we read. The avoiding, invalidating, lifting, nullifying, overturning, vacating, voiding, and etc., etc., etc. of the punishment that was scheduled to take place. You see, before you got saved, you were headed to hell. People just don't tell people about that anymore. You were in dangerous, critical, dangerous circumstances. So was I. But God, who is rich in mercy, whereby He saved us. He saved us before we knew we were saved. He did me. I didn't know I was saved when I was born again. All I know is that there's something changed. And now as I've been learning and learning and learning and studying the Word of God and drinking the milk and then starting to eat some meat of the Word and understanding, we're starting to figure out what happened. And the Lord's showing it to us. But the avoiding and the invalidating and the lifting and nullifying and overturning and vacating and voiding and all the other things of punishment that was scheduled to take place have been remitted for the one that comes to Christ and comes the way that the Father has prescribed. If you think you're going to go to Mass and you're going to eat that wafer and you're going to pretend that priest up there takes that wine and transubstantiates it into Christ's blood and sacrifices him all over again, and then you're actually eating the flesh of Christ, you're still headed to hell. Because that's not the prescription that the Bible has laid out and the Father has laid out, the new covenant. Now, I don't know if you're Catholic, and I don't know if you're Presbyterian, I don't know what you are, but what you need to be is born again. And if you are, then all of this has taken place. Remember, we began this talking about salvation, and that all the ingredients of salvation have already taken place. They were predestined to take place when you came to Christ, and they did take place. And they did. The offender receives forgiveness because remission of his sins has taken place by him not receiving the due and coming punishment. It is the punishment that is actually remitted in order to make forgiveness come forth. You see that thing? It's beautiful, isn't it? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10 through 18. Listen to what it says. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. Talking about mamas and daddies and daddies chastening their children. But listen to what this says. But they verily for a few days, our earthly fathers, chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, talking about our Heavenly Father, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. This is talking about you already being born again and your Heavenly Father loving you, and your sins are gone, and the consequences of your sin have been gone. They're gone. They're wiped out. There's no more consequences for you as far as your sin. But as far as you being a son, the Father's dealing with you as a son now rather than an enemy, a sinner. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down in the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You had to be holy in order to see the Lord. Well, guess what? You are, because of Christ. Because of Christ. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when ye would have inherited the blessing, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as the beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. You know what quaking is? It's when you're so scared that your body just doesn't, your brain and your body disconnect, and your body's just quaking, not shivering, not shaking, quaking. And that was Moses. Moses is the one that stood in between God and Israel. But the punishment is not there anymore. It's been remitted. Remission of sins has taken place by him not receiving the due, by you and me not receiving the due and coming punishment. It is the punishment that is actually remitted in order to make forgiveness come forth. The way that the Lord put together all the components of his salvation through Christ Jesus is so beautiful and perfect in every way. Each part of salvation complements the other and perfectly intertwines with each to make the New Testament salvation perfect completely in the way God wanted it to be and end up. Perfect and complete both in forgiveness and judicially. Some parts of salvation focus on the forgiveness. Some on the Lord's patience, long-suffering and willingness, some on benefits given to the believer, and some on the legal, that's God's courtroom, on the legal aspects of salvation. Remission is judicial. You see that? You see that thing? All right. Well, we're going to stop right there, and I'm going to, just because of the way that this study is laid out, we're going to stop right there, and I think we have brought remission into focus just a little bit more and seen the difference between forgiveness and remission. Yes, remission is forgiveness, but not only forgiveness. Forgiveness is something that God loves doing and forgiving. But if you think God is going to drop his holiness or sacrifice or compromise his holiness to forgive a sinner, you are mistaken. He will put somebody in hell in a blink of an eye that doesn't come the way that he has prescribed and the way that he has put together salvation in the New Testament. Everybody that has tried in the past to come to the Lord and show him and think that they're going to die and they're going to be able to explain to God their sins and explain this and explain that, it's not going to happen. If you don't come through Christ, you're lost, you're going to die in your sins, and you're going to go to hell. And then one day, the Lord is going to raise you up and bring you out of there, and you're going to stand before a righteous, holy God at a white throne judgment, and you're already condemned. The white throne judgment is for the Lord to sentence, to prescribe the depth of your sentence, eternal sentence, in the lake of fire. And that's where they're going to bind you hand and feet and put you in the lake of fire, throw you in there. But all of y'all listening to this that are born again, you don't ever, ever have to worry about being in any of that description of what I just described, because everything has changed for you. You're a child of God, and you're not even going to appear at the white throne judgment. You're going to be there, probably, but you're not going to be on the wrong side of the bench. Your sins have been forgiven. But not only forgiven, they've been remitted and taken away. And the consequences, the white throne judgment, hell, the lake of fire, God's wrath, has all been remitted. You have no punishment coming. The only thing that you need to think about now as a child of God is just like what we read a minute ago, is being God's son and behaving yourself and doing the things that are pleasing in your Heavenly Father's sight and not misbehaving, because God will tear your hind end up. Because he don't tolerate no sons misbehaving either. He will make you sorry as a son, but you have no punishment for your sins coming. There are no sins no more. Once you come through Christ, Christ died once for all, and it was enough. And he don't come back every year and die again. It's done. And when you come to Christ, his blood washes you and washes your sins, takes them out of the way, and the consequences are remitted. Isn't that wonderful? Praise our wonderful Lord and for his perfect salvation and his plan. We're going to come back together on the next one if you join us, and I'm sure you will. And we're going to talk about things remission is based upon. Things that remission is based upon. There has to be a basis to God's remission. And of course, we know it's God's wisdom and him putting a perfect plan together, but there are itemized things that made remission possible, where God doesn't administer punishment for your sins to you. He forgave you. He took your sins out of the way, removed them completely, and remitted all of the things that you were scheduled to get. All the punishments and all the everything that you had coming for your sins. And me too. But we'll talk about that. Things remission is based upon. All right, well, let me give you the scriptures for today. Are you ready? All right, we started on 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. James chapter 2 and verse 10. Numbers chapter 14, verse 18. Let's see, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 through 26. And the last one for today is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10 through 18. Amen? Now, don't get me wrong what I said about Catholics. I told you the truth. And there are millions of people that are putting their faith in tradition and not what the Bible says. There are Catholics that, because of tradition, I've known some that have received Jesus as their Savior and believe that, and have genuinely believed Christ as their Savior, but because of tradition, they still follow through with the Catholic ways, and they're going to heaven. If you're saved, it don't matter what title you got on you, or that you put on yourself, or that you there's a lot of people that follow traditions that are saved, that have come to Christ the way that the Bible, the way God's Word prescribes, and they're going to heaven because of what Christ done, not because of any tradition or any kind of behavior. If you get what you deserve because of your behavior, you're in trouble. Me too. But we're not going to get it because it's been remitted. Amen? All right. Well, that's enough for today. And don't we have a wonderful Lord? Isn't He beautiful in every way? Praise Him every chance you get. And be thankful to Him. Thank Him on purpose. The Bible calls it the sacrifice of thanksgiving. You thank God on purpose and sacrifice that. And because we as sinners and our fleshly sin nature, it don't want to give God thanks for nothing. But we do, don't we? Thank Him on purpose. And thank Him because you love Him and you mean it and you appreciate Him because He's worthy. He's worthy. And so is the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Holy Ghost that indwells us. He is indeed a comforter. Well, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you on the next one, okay? Bye-bye.